Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, more than just a chance to have fun. Play can be serious business when it comes to a child's health and development, and we all remember our days as young kids playing, and you just don't see as much of it anymore. Well, here to tell us about the importance of play is my guest, Dr. Michael Yogman. He's immediate past chair of the American Academy of Pediatrics Committee on Psychosocial Aspects of Child and Family Health. Dr. Yogman, tell us first the importance of play when we think about children running and screaming and playing and jumping and rolling around. You don't see so much of it anymore.
Well, that was our concern in writing this report. So we really reviewed a lot of the data, and there really are three essential components of reasons why we need to make play a greater priority in children's lives, and that's what the Academy is doing in this state. So number one, play is not frivolous. Play with caregivers, peers, and teachers really affects brain structure and function. Mostly animal data, but it can be generate hypotheses, and we think it has real meaning for children. Secondly, playful learning is a fundamental part of healthy development and is crucial for 21st century skills such as executive function, collaboration, and innovation. And third of all, play really helps build the safe, nurturing relationships with parents and all caregivers that mitigate toxic stress and promote resilience. So those are the three fundamental points that we try to provide the evidence for in the paper.
Has it been declining? Do you feel that it's been? I mean, I pass parks by my house, Dr. Yogman, and nobody's in them, and they're lovely parks. And,
I
think that children today see, okay, you got to go outside as more of a punishment than back in the day when it was, okay, you got to sit inside.
Absolutely. And the data is very concerning in that regard. And that's the reason why we chose to write this paper. Let me quote you some of the data. 50% of parents don't go outside to play with their children anymore. 30% of kindergartens no longer have recess because they're busy teaching kids to take tests. At every level, you're passing safe playgrounds, but in lots of neighborhoods, playgrounds are not safe. And so kids are confined to the home, often watching video screens instead of getting physical activity that we know can help minimize obesity. So that we need to create the opportunities for kids to play every day. And that's why we wrote this report and are suggesting that pediatricians cement it with a prescription.
Wow, that's like the American College of Sports Medicine asked all doctors to make exercise a prescription in exercise as medicine. So it's a very similar, you know, initiative and so important. So tell me, does electronic play count, or are we kind of putting that off to the side? I mean, there's dance-off things and, you know, the Wii Fit and all those kinds of things, but they're not the same, are they?
Well, I think there are components that are helpful in terms of exercise and interaction with peers or parents that electronic media can play. But in terms of the direct interaction interpersonally that's not virtual and the kind of problem solving and creativity and executive function skills that play can promote, I think there's a real difference and a real benefit in a variety of kinds of play. And that can vary from object play with simple things like wooden spoons and leftover dishes to the earliest serve and return, cooing back and forth and smiling back and forth that three-month-olds engage in with their mothers and fathers, to, you know, the physical outdoor play rough and tumble play that teaches kids how to engage without hurting each other and how to cope with challenges. And then, of course, there's the pretend play, the imaginary play, the dress up, the fort building. And then there's something called playful learning or guided play, where adults might have an agenda for children to learn something, but that they let children take the lead. They don't intrude. They let children work out the problem solving on their own. So there are a variety of kinds of play. They're all intrinsically motivated, child-directed, even if not child-initiated, active, engaging, and meaningful, and promoting curiosity, that kind of joyful discovery. And I think here's where the difference between digital media play is usually socially interactive.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydrolyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydrolyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydrolyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydrolyte in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. So you've mentioned some good forms of play, and I remember so lovingly the days when I just used to let my son pull all the Tupperware out of the cabinet and figure out a way to put it back in and pull it out again. And I mean, it was a mess, but it was fun, and it was fun to watch. So as kids are at different ages, you mentioned that there's different, you know, types of play, the cooing and such from babies. So what do you want parents to know about object play? Toys, mixing it up a little bit, and how they know that that is really a good positive thing for their kids?
Well, I think they want to let children explore the properties of objects and toys and not be too directive at pointing out what are the properties of objects. Because if you let kids explore on their own, they'll find multiple opportunities and characteristics of toys that will be inhibited if parents are overly directive.
Wow, that makes sense. What an interesting way to look at it. Because adults, we look at a toy and say, this is how it's supposed to be used. But that's not the way a kid might look at a toy and say, oh, no, this, you know, even movies like Toy Story really show a difference in the way a kid looks at these things and the way an adult does. So now what do you
want? That's the wonderful thing about watching children and watching their nonverbal activity. We as adults can learn a lot from seeing things through children's eyes. And it brings us back to our own childhood and the joy of what we experienced as adults in playing, so that I think there are multiple levels. For example, reading children's books brings us back to our own, the stories we loved as children. And letting kids describe and imagine what is going on behind the scenes of the book can be playful as well.
So does that mean that suppose we're reading with our children, like Harry Potter, which if you're not watching the movies, you're reading the books, the imagination can take your picture in your mind all kinds of places. Should we as adults, Dr. Yogman, guide that imagination, or should we ask our children, so how do you picture Hogwarts looking? Or what do you think? I mean, do we say, oh, can you see the castle? Can you see? Do we guide it, or do we let them guide us?
Well, it's a combination. I think you give them the opportunity to take the lead and guide it. But you can also ask prompting questions. It's a concept known as scaffolding, that if kids seem stuck about a particular issue, you can provide a prompt that unsticks them.
Oh, what an interesting idea. So we can give them those prompts. Now, speak about the pediatrician's role in all this, how you would like them to do a prescription for play, but how does that play out, as it were, not to use a pun there, but how does that fit into the picture? What is it going to look like at a well visit when a pediatrician says something like, how much play are you getting?
Well, it's more a value statement. It's a comment often late in the visit. One might have talked about what kinds of activities the child's engaged in. One hopes that there's not a lot of pressure to overstructure the child's activities. And by merely making a statement that playtime is valuable and depending on the age of the child, and for the parent to find some time to get down on the floor and play with their child every day, is not trivial. It really has some long-term impact on the child's learning, on their joy and curiosity, and ultimately on the kind of adult skills that the workforce is looking for of creativity, collaboration, innovation. Those are the kinds of skills that kids really develop through play. And I was fascinated in a article in the New York Times Sunday News of the Week in Review that helping kids develop collaborative skills, cooperation, might actually help to improve the communication in our democracy and help people of different mindsets work together more constructively.
What an interesting concept. And would that it would be true would be wonderful, especially with our children coming up in this age and seeing so much strife around, and that play can actually help them to deal with it and get along with their friends and meet new people and use their imagination. Wrap it up for us, Dr. Yogman. I love this segment.
Well,
I love this whole idea.
I love a quote from George Bernard Shaw that's an old and famous quote. He said, "We don't stop playing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop playing."
Yeah,
and
that's wonderful,
that,
isn't it?
It's a wonderful quote for adults to cotton to. Now, I think that social-emotional skills, cognitive and language skills, the self-regulation skills that build executive function, task persistence, problem-solving, those are all key. But I also want to emphasize the way encouraging parents to focus in, even at a young age, in the nonverbal cues during play that babies display, creates a kind of shared communication, promotes the attunement, the serve and return interactions that parents and children experience during play that really can regulate the body's stress response and mitigate toxic stress. So social play becomes even more important in the presence of adversity.
I agree completely. What a great idea, and we certainly are happy to promote the AAEP's policy now on play and how important
really
it is.
Really appreciate it, and I might just emphasize the implications for pediatricians go beyond the office and the work with parents, but we want to encourage preschool curricula to include playful learning and not to just take the test preparation in kindergarten and first grade back down into preschool. We want to also encourage not only safe playgrounds in neighborhoods, but the transformation of urban landscapes into opportunities for playful learning. So, for example, signs in supermarkets as parents are shopping for apples can have a sign to encourage them to play with counting the number of apples, or to ask questions about where milk comes from when they go to the milk counter, or for bus stops to have lights that reflect on the ground and encourage kids to do some hopscotch while they're waiting for a bus. Lots of opportunities for cities to incorporate these playful ideas into the structure of commonplace situations where parents and children are waiting or shopping.
It is such a great, great initiative. It's the American Academy of Pediatrics Clinical Report, The Power of Play, A Pediatric Role in Enhancing Development in Young Children. Parents listening, play with your kids. Let them take the lead. Let them use their imagination. It doesn't have to be about smartphones and tablets all the time. Digital media is great and they'll learn from it. But there's also this very important aspect, not to mention the childhood obesity epidemic that we're going through, and play and physical play can help to mitigate some of those kinds of things as well. So you're listening to Healthy Children. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Yogman, thank you so much for being with us today. Really important information for listeners to hear. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.